only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be here. Knowing the winds outside are howling and the world's economies are going into eruption. And now the world leaders have come together to plan another way to destroy the economies of the world through their global intercession of the, well, this thing they call Greenpeace or the Green Movement, Father. We know it's just a communist plot, but yet, Father, we recognize that as your prophet preached a message called the world is falling apart. We see it everywhere, Father. And so we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come here in humbleness and sweetness, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Now we pray, Father, you would take a hold of our words tonight, and may we have our focus upon Jesus Christ, your Son. May we see the pattern of how we as sons ought to live in this world that is falling apart. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we'll continue in our study of the spoken word as original seed. And we'll take paragraphs 106 through 109 of Brother Branham's sermon. Now in paragraph 106, and the books that I gave you don't have the same paragraph system because those are from the Voice of God. And the ones that I'm reading from is actually from the system that, the search engine that we put together, and so the paragraphing is a little bit different. So, but you may find it in your books anyway, somewhere close to that. When paragraph 106, Brother Brown said, "Now in this, God foresaw and predestinated a world of sons and daughters. He predestinated them to be there." And I just think of that and how God predestined us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundations of the world. He predestined us to be here in this last hour and to receive his message of adoption and sonship. And in verse 107, he says, Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean? See what I mean now? See, if you were intended, you see the word and you believe it. Because why? There's something new. See? Why? Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? A son will kind of impersonate his father or his mother or his grandfather or his grandmother. That strains in the family. You've heard it, haven't you? Well, that's the same thing from predestination. You were supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning, but being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestinated to hear the word and it brings you right back to where you were predestined, see? Amen. Never saw that before. It brings you right. And what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things is because you were. There's something in you way back yonder. You were supposed to. You are made to live here forever. It kind of reminds me of a quote where Brother Branham said that if you didn't have representation back then, you won't have representation right now or at the end. And so what I found, and I mentioned this to Brother Vell last Sunday night, this particular quote, because Brother Branham, in the 50s and 60s, early 60s, you know, he really talked about how predestination wasn't a very good word to use. The better word would be foreknowledge. But, you know, if you take it only from the standpoint of foreknowledge, that God knew your end from the beginning, then there's no hand of God involved at all. There's no hand of God involved. It's just he knew. And but here, Brother Branham says, he says, you were supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning, but being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestined to hear the word, it brings you right back where you were predestinated. And then he said, you know, I never saw it that way before. So Brother Branham is letting us know that even God was tweaking his thoughts on predestination here. Because he brings it right down to seed. He says, amen, never saw that before. It brings you right. And what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things is because there's something in you. You see, that's why I go back to the fact that the best way you can explain predestination to anyone is to talk about a seed. Because in that seed is everything that seed ever will be. Everything's there. All it takes is a light to strike it. And every seed must come after, it must come forth after, its kind. That's what the Bible says, after its kind. And so if we were in God, then we're seeds of God. Then we must come forth after his kind, you see. In paragraph 108 then. All right, scripture for that preacher. Here it comes. All that he foreknew he called. All that he has called he has justified. All that he has justified he has already glorified. Well, what's the use of preaching, Brother Branham? Well, there's a crop out there. Only thing that I'm doing is saining. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world denomination throws it off, I can't help it. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, he will turn to be a son and daughter of God just as sure as the world. Amen. Because it's predestined. I'd like to stop here for just a moment and bring that up. Notice Brother Branham said, but if there's one out there that can't absorb it. Now, what does the word absorb mean? You know, it's an interesting word that we're looking at here. Absorb. He said, if there's one that can't absorb it, he will turn to be a son or daughter of God just as sure as the world. So what does that word absorb mean? You ever think about that? Well, the word absorb, it means to occupy the full attention of, the interest of, or the time of, to be engrossed in. Now, the word engrossed is not the same word as gross. You say that's gross, that means you don't like what it is, but to be engrossed means that you're really absorbed, you're really fully immersed in it. That's why when we baptize, we don't just sprinkle. We fully immerse, showing that from head to toe, body, soul, and spirit, you're plunged. You've taken the plunge, you see. So he says, you were supposed to be here in the right way at the beginning, but being that you come the way that you did, you're subject to the fall. But being that you're predestinated to hear the word of God, and it brings you right back where you were predestinated, amen, never saw that before. It brings you right back, and what makes you believe the word of God and turn down these other things is because you were. There's something in you. Way back yonder, you were supposed to be, you were made to live forever. All right, scripture for that preacher, he says, here it comes. All he foreknew, he called, all he called, he justified, all he justified, he has already glorified. So what's the use of preaching, Brother Bram? There's a crop out there somewhere. The only thing is I'm doing is saining. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world denomination throws it off, I can't help it. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, that can occupy the full attention, can occupy their full interest, can occupy their time, can occupy, completely that. In other words, if they just completely get immersed into it. So what he's saying, if you are made to absorb, you just can't get enough of the message of the hour. If there's someone out there that can absorb it, he will turn to be a son and daughter of God just as sure as the world. So what makes you live like Christ Jesus? It's the Word. What makes you change from having vile thoughts to pure thoughts? It's the Word. It's not some preacher clubbing you over the head. You see? It's the Word that changes. And he said, if I can just get the Word out there, it's that Word, that light, that will bring into manifestation what seed they are. It not only holds your interest, but it holds your full attention and occupies the full attention, the full interest, and the full time that you have. You can't get away from it. You are locked in, hook, line, and sinker. Then it continues in paragraph 109. That's the reason that God could work his work through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago, that we said Genesis 1:1 spoke a while ago, he was right then predestinated to take his place. Amen. That's the reason the will of the Father he did. He was the Word made manifest. And every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation. And that's the ones that was predestinated. Now therefore, if Jesus could not help it, but to manifest what he was ordained to manifest, then you and I cannot help it any less or any more. God has set forth a great drama that is unfolded in this hour just the same as he unfolded a great drama in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ. So when Brother Branham says, and every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the one that was predestinated, he's not saying that we will all manifest as a slain lamb. But where there was one to die, there were those he died for. And if you are all the ones that were ordained to be to the adoption of sons that God ordained before the foundations of the world, it was then at that same time that he ordained the lamb to be slain for all those adopted sons. You see, we all have roles to step into. All have roles to play. From paragraph 170 of Supersign, Brother Branham said many people wanted to accept Jesus. They thought they'd do it. In some other convenient time, though, one said. They wanted to accept Christ, but they put it off for a long time. Some of them tried to get him off their hands and tried to wash it off with water, pass the buck on to someone else, but it backfired. But it's on your hands tonight, thrown back into your lap. Hebrews 13 and 8, regardless of how many council of churches we have, still remains as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then Brother Brown quotes John 14 and 12. He says, and the works that I do, notice he says, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he makes it very clear what he's talking about concerning John 14 and 12. In paragraph 172, he says, now you all can't be that one. But you can be part of that with your faith. All of them couldn't be Jesus when he was on earth. But they could believe him and accept the message. There was only one Moses, one Elijah, one Noah, on down, always been like that. But the rest of them could accept it, and they wouldn't have had no ministry unless there'd have been somebody to believe it. Jesus would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. Paul would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. The Holy Ghost has got no ministry by the Word today unless somebody's willing to get away from their creed and come back to the Word again, no matter how well it's here and how real that it's here. It's here now. I know it's here. I feel it. I know it's here. The Word says it's here. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. And I truly believe that he's here the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, God came down in this hour as he did in the same fashion that he did when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. God came down in 1933 just the same. That same pillar of fire that came down and indwelt his firstborn son came down and stood over his prophet, William Branham. Another son of God. Then as God revealed to him what the message was to be, he then yielded himself as the vessel which God chose to publish that shout, which is his message. Then William Branham became the end time vessel, and through that yielded vessel, God revealed himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as he did in Jesus, so did he today. Notice then, that is the same that he did in Jesus. Today, that is the way he did in William Branham, and forever, that is the way he will through yielded sons. Yesterday, in Jesus, today, in William Branham, and forever, in you and I. Now, Romans 8 and 2 tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice then, there is a law of life that Paul is speaking about here. He calls it the law of life, or the law of the Spirit of life that was in Christ. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness or the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're looking here at the law of life, the law that was in Christ Jesus, actually being fulfilled in us, and here is the key to our understanding that law. He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's your key right there. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You can't help but gravitate toward the Word. You put those tapes on, you listen to spiritual music, you think about spiritual thoughts, you think about, you know, the way everything's wrapping up here, you think about where you're going to, you think all these things. So I see that this law of life concerns the Spirit of life that was in Christ, but of which has come into us after it was revealed from that vessel of the firstborn son on the day of Calvary, and that life has come into other sons, namely us, that it also might manifest itself in our flesh, as it did in William Branham's flesh. Let's face it, he saw the word and as a simple, humble Kentucky brother, son of God. He didn't challenge the word. He believed everything it said. And if the word said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I may not understand how, but I believe it is in every way. You see? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You notice how the world is scrambling today. Everybody's scrambling today. They know that things are coming to a halt. They know that the world is out of control. The economies are out of control. Healthcare is out of control. You know, health organizations are out of control. There's no sanity anymore in the way that they do things. Everything to them is a pandemic. They've been looking for a pandemic since 1999. Because supposedly every 200 years there's one, or you know, every so many years there's one. So, you know, the Bible says the things that you fear the most are going to come upon you. Everything's out of control. And yet, he's not. He's not out of control. And he which began the work in you is here to finish it. He's going to do it if you just let him. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want you to think about these things. To be carnally minded is death. You're thinking on death all the time. You're thinking on... But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We ought to be enjoying life more than any other people on earth. And we ought to have more peace in our heart. Peace in our soul. Peace in our flesh. Peace in our mind, peace in our spirit, than anyone else. You see, the problem is that we don't understand yet. Whenever God has a promise for you, he puts you to the test. And if you could just sit back and get peace in your soul and say, okay, Father, I realize I'm now in the test. Thank you for the test. Help me to overcome. Help me to have your mind. And let me not be so set on my idea of how it should work out that I'm going to miss the way that you want it to work out. And be at peace. Be at rest. You know, my mind goes back many times. I think of this night and Brother Billy Paul had a dream. And in the dream, they were sitting in church. It was in the nighttime. And Brother Branham came through the door. And he said, come on, Billy, we've got to go. He's coming in the morning. And somebody rose up in the church and said, just a minute now, how is that possible? The Bible says no man would know the day or the hour. And Brother Brown said, but no, he didn't say no man would know the season. And I don't remember the other part of that, but I'll have to read it to you. It was almost a very fearful type of dream because that was it. And he talked about that great stone coming down that was cut out without hands. And it was coming to strike the earth. And it was just seemed like a very hectic thing was going on. And Billy said, well, what about my wife? What about my children? Brother Bram said, well, you know, I've got children too. I've got your brother, you know, I got Joseph and Sarah. You know, they're not really of age yet. And we think about those things. We think, what about my children? Let me just say this. Every time the angel of the Lord came, what was the first things out of his mouth? Peace. Be still. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. You know, many times we find that children have to have a trust. You know, we hear about the stories where the children jump out of a burning second story into the arms of their parent waiting down below because they know their parent will catch them when they get down there. And, we've got a world that's getting ready for a burning. We've got to be willing to jump when he says jump and know that he's going to catch us. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we do not mind the things of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God rests in our mortal flesh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now you see, that is what makes us different from other people. Different from other men. We are born again of the Spirit of God. The same Son of God life that was in the original seed Son of God that manifested in His flesh is now in our flesh and is waiting to manifest that same life in each and every one of us. And how do we manifest that same life? We do nothing till the Father shows us first. We speak only that which the Father commanded us to say. We've given over our will to His will. No doctrine but His. Verse 10. And if Christ, the anointing, be in you, the body, your body, is dead because of sin. But, and that's a big but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. In other words, the Spirit comes to life because of right word. Now this next sentence is where Paul places everything. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And remember, if it quickens your mortal body, the actual definition of mortal means that which can die. The Greek word that was translated as mortal is thanatos, which means it is capable of dying. So Paul says that if the Spirit that was in Jesus that raised Him from the dead is in your bodies that are capable of death, or that are liable to die, it will quicken those same bodies. In other words, he's not speaking of quickening the body which is already dead, but that which is capable of dying. In other words, God wants to do it now. And what Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead? There's 18 verses that says God raised Jesus from the dead. He's the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit of God, which raised up Jesus from the dead, if even a modicum of that Spirit dwells in you, it's going to do the same thing for this physical body of yours now. That's why we hear in John, in 1 John 1:1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And remember, the same John who wrote this epistle also wrote the Gospel of John, where he reported Jesus saying that the word, his word, is spirit and life. And here he tells us of this life, in that he says, for the life was manifested. I want that to soak in. The life was manifested. In other words, the Son of God's seed life that was in the firstborn Son of God came into manifestation, and as a result, John says, and we've seen it, and we bear witness to it, and do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So if that life was with the Father, and remember John 5:26 says the life was in the Father and came into His Son. If the life was in the Father and in the Father, then it came forth from the Father. It came forth as the original seed, which was Jesus Christ, God's firstborn Son. That which we have seen and heard, he says. In other words, that which we have seen in the actions of the God life in the vessel of the firstborn Son, and that which we have heard are those words which that firstborn Son spake. That which we've seen, that which we've heard, John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And remember, when Jesus came forth, what did He manifest? His Father. He manifested His Father to the world. In 5:19, Jesus said, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Again in John 14:31, he says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Therefore, what I want to show you in this verse is that I want you to see how that the very life that was in the Son of God manifested itself. It manifested itself in complete obedience to the Father's commandment. And again in John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So he did not speak without knowing what to say. Like so many times, we just kind of open mouth, insert foot. You remember when Brother Branham was being filmed in his living room on 20th Century Prophet? And Brother Branham, as he's telling the story, he kind of does this. He kind of looks up in the air like this. And he said, well, Brother Cop, it all began, and it looks like he's kind of reading a script. I think he was. And you can do the same, because the Bible says, take no thought what you're going to say, but in that hour that you have need, the Holy Ghost will give you the words to say. So you need to just take and sit back a little bit. When you have need, say, Father, you promised, if I be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to me. He said, take no thought what I'm going to say in that hour. The Holy Spirit will give me those words. So help me, Father, to, like Brother Branham, like Jesus before him. May your words begin to pop into my mind. And may I say your words as they come forth from my tongue. You see? Then you're manifesting Son of God's seed. The same Son of God life that was in the original seed. You see it? So he did not speak without knowing what to say, because he was dependent upon his Father to know what to say. And that is exactly what he then said. He said, John says, for the life was manifest in the chosen vessel of the original seed, the Jesus Christ seed. And we have seen it and bear witness also and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, the very purpose of the manifestation of that Son of God seed life is that they could witness how that life manifested itself in the body of flesh called Jesus Christ. And John goes on to say, that which we've seen with our own eyes and have handled with our own hands, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John is telling us that, look, the very things that we saw and we beheld, we touched Him, we felt Him. We heard the words that he said, and now I'm going to tell you all about it. So that you also can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. In paragraph 83 of the only spoken words original seed, Brother Branham said, all of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again, like in John 3. See? To be born of water and Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. He keeps going back to the beginning, back to the beginning, back to the beginning. And you know, it's very in the very beginning, in Ephesians, he said we were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And that we would be perfect. And in love, he predestinates us to that perfection. Hallelujah. All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again, like in John 3. See? To be born of water and Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See? That's the reason of Christ's death. Brings us right back again to where? Sons of God. If Eve would have brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here and play the part of a whore. She had to fall so that she could be redeemed. Now Ephesians 1 and verse 4 says, according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. In His presence and in love, having predestinated us, past tense, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It's the good pleasure. It's His good pleasure. It's His will to do so. It's not you know, hoping that you can catch the wagon as it's going by or jump on the bus as it's going by. He predestinated you, and it was His pleasure to do so. So we see that we have already been predestined to be to the adoption of sons. Now this word predestined, it comes from the Greek word proorizo, which again is made up of two words, pro meaning beforehand, or to go before, and the word horizon, or horizon, which means to decree, declare, ordain, appoint, or limit. In other words, marked out beforehand and limited or constrained by the limiting factor. Look, we have an English word very similar to that, horizon, spelt the same way, H-O-R-I-Z-O-N. Horizon. What's the horizon? Adam, what's the horizon? Okay, where is it? How far away from you is it? Is it right in front of you? It's as far as you can see. All right, pro, beforehand, horizon, as far as you can see. Amen? God ordained as far as you can see your path. As far out, even further out, because the horizon goes beyond what you can see, because it tips off into what you can't see. I like that. God has it all destined for us. Why? Because He put everything in you to be there. To go to where you can't see. You see? All right. In other words, marked out beforehand and limited or constrained by the limiting factor. So in essence, you could not run from your predestined outcome if you tried. And many have tried to run away from that responsibility and their role in the family, and God just slams them pretty good and lets them sit in some desert place until they come to their senses and they give in to His will. That was the case of Moses, and that was the case of Paul. That was even the case of William Branham. He said, I wanted to be a trapper, but it's my Father's will that I'm here. In fact, Brother Branham told us that Jesus tried to dodge the cross when He said, Father, my will is that You take this cup from me. But then He gave over His will to the Father and said, but not my will, but Thy will be done. So we're looking at three statements that Brother Branham made concerning who we are as sons of God, and as brothers of the eldest born son, Jesus Christ, because He said He is the original seed. Number one, all of God's sons must be the same. Number two, all of God's sons must be born of the Word and Spirit, God's Spirit. And number three, then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning, sons of God, Ephesians 1. So you see, we are the same. For of one spirit, we are all born into the same family by one life. From the seed shall not be yet with the shut, Brother Brown said, that's what the church is doing today. For Jesus is the Word. He is the bridegroom. And the bride is a part of the groom. Therefore, the Word that is to be fulfilled this day is the same part of the Word that was fulfilled in His day. And it's the same Word, same experience, same life. Just as God manifests Himself through a prophet in that day, there was a people to receive that prophet, to receive those words, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Alpha must repeat in Omega. That's why we're sitting here tonight. Because we are. We're flesh of His flesh. We're bone of His bone. Again, from 24C of C shall not be heard with the shut, Brother Ram said there, therefore, part of His Spirit, part of His body, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, word of His word, life of His life, and that's the way the bride of Christ is. The bride is to Christ. That's why the rapture of the royal seed has to come first. And the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. Then they were brought. Then they were brought up at the white throne judgment. See, there is no judgment to the royal seed or the predestinated seed of God. Why? Because we're judging ourselves. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So what are we worried about? We should live every day in expectation that very soon He will finish that which He began in us and take us with Him when He departs this earth. As Brother Branham said, I can do anything I want to do, but all I want to do is to serve Him because I love Him so much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for that love which You gave us because we love You because You first loved us. So Lord, we thank You. Because God so loved the world that He gave His firstborn Son, that we also might receive the very life that was in Him and become, He was the first fruit, and we are the fruits of the tree. He is the vine, that life, and we are the branches thereof. And it's the branch that brings forth a manifestation of the fruit. So help us, Father, to be that which You ordained us to be, to manifest the fruit. And those fruits of the Spirit as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. And give thee peace forever.